Good morning. I'm Representative Dave Pinto, and I'm the chair of the House Early Childhood Finance and Policy Committee, and I'm calling this meeting of the committee to order pursuant to House Rule 10.01, which allows for virtual hearings of this type. I'd like to direct the attention of members of the public to our committee website, where you'll find a number of pieces of information related to the meeting and agenda. We're going to be considering a number of amendments today, so you'll find the text of those amendments, et cetera, right on that page. So please check that out. We're going to start, as usual, with the taking of the roll. So Ms. Chambers, if you can do that, please.
Representative Pinto, Chair.
Present.
Representative Pryor, Vice Chair.
Present.
Representative Franson.
Present.
Representative Bennett.
Present.
Representative Bolden.
Present.
Representative Daniels.
Present.
Representative Dabney.
Present.
Representative Damon.
Present.
Representative Juergens.
Present.
Representative Cotiza Witun.
Present.
Representative Morrison.
Morrison, present.
Representative Wasilowick.
Present.
And Representative Wolgamott.
Wolgamott, present.
Have a quorum.
Thank you, Ms. Chambers. Thank you, Representative Wolgamott, giving us our good boost of energy in the morning, as usual. We had an extra hearing this week because we had our public testimony yesterday, so we actually have two sets of minutes to approve. So, Representative Pryor, if you could move approval of the minutes from April 6th.
So moved, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Pryor. Any additions or corrections, members, to the minutes from April 6th? And so, hearing none, all in favor of approval of the minutes from April 6th, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the motion prevails, and the minutes from April 6th are adopted. And then the minutes from April 7th, Representative Pryor, if you can move approval of those minutes.
So moved.
Thank you, Representative Pryor. Any additions or corrections, members, to those minutes? And so again, hearing none, all in favor of approval of the April 7th minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
And any opposed? Okay, the motion prevails and the April 7th minutes are adopted. Thank you again, Representative Pryor. So members, I'm at this time taking House File 2230 back off the table. A reminder that on Tuesday, we walked through the DE1 amendment. This will be our committee's budget bill. And we heard the public testimony yesterday. And a big thank you to the testifiers from all the different perspectives that you provided. We really appreciate that from yesterday and now. We'll be considering some amendments based in part on your testimony and also considering, of course, the bill as a whole. So I'm going to be handing things over now to our Vice Chair, Representative Pryor, to handle the proceedings from here.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And as you just stated, would you like to present the DE1 amendment?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. So I move the DE1 to put that in before the committee. I know there'll be a number of amendments to consider regarding the DE1.
All right, DE1 is now before the committee, and we will consider the amendments that were filed on the DE1 and then on the bill. Our first two amendments to the DE1 are from the author to get the bill in the form that he wishes for consideration. Chair Pinto, would you like to offer the A3 amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair. And members, this amendment was described by Ms. Mock, our House research staffer, on Tuesday, and just makes a couple of technical corrections to the bill. I think that she did a good job on Tuesday describing, and hopefully members are familiar and will be okay with adding this to make some of these technical fixes.
Okay, any questions or discussion to the A3? And I'm not seeing any. So all in favor of the A3 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion prevails, and the amendment is adopted. Chair Pinto, would you like to offer the A8 amendment?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. So members, I'll take just a minute to describe the A8. Again, it's an author's amendment. The first portion of it, line 1.3, makes a slight change in the effective date of any CCAP rate change that occurs, simply to say that occurs no later than the date that's in the bill. If it's possible for there to be a rate change that occurs early, we want to make sure that there's that opportunity. And again, that's simply the effective date and the technical aspect of that. The second portion of the amendment has to do with a couple of reports that we'll be seeking to have the Department of Human Services do as part of the parent aware evaluation. I should note, members, it was pointed out to me that the date that's currently in the bill regarding the parent aware evaluation, the report back, is a pretty late date. It's at the end of 2024. And there's a good reason for that, because the process takes time to collect data over several years. It's a very rigorous process to recalibrate that instrument. But we want information sooner than that about parent aware and to have those reports. So that's what that section does. I should note that the first paragraph of that, it's subdivision 4A or a new 4A, have heard from some stakeholders that there's some concern about the precise wording, and may need to make a change to that as we move forward, simply to focus on the, make sure that we're focused on receiving the department's racial equity plan by that particular date. It should not be a substantive change. So that may be as going forward, but otherwise that piece should be good. And then the final line ensures that the Great Start for All Minnesota Children Task Force has representation from small business, which is, of course, very important to all of us. So we would hope to have your support for the A8.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'll pause now. Any questions or discussions about the A8 amendment that's up for consideration right now? All right, well, I'm seeing none. So all in favor of the A8 amendment, please say aye.
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 All opposed? All right, the motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. The next amendment is the A11. And Representative Katiza Watoon, would you like to offer the A11 amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I will move the A11 amendment to the DE1. This amendment is in regards to the foster care, early childhood foster care participation provision, and we are just going to be shifting the dates 6 months out after consultation with the departments. They're just going to need a little bit more time to bring staff on board to create these reports and then create the reports for us.
All right. Thank you, Representative Katiza Watoon. Is there any questions or discussions to the A11 amendment?
Madam Chair?
Yes. Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Sorry, Chair Pinto. And could you, your comments on the A11 amendment?
No problem. I simply wanted to note, that I'm in support of the amendment and appreciate Representative Katiza Watoon's work on this issue. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair Pinto. Any other questions or discussions on the A11 amendment? All right, seeing none, all in favor of the A11 amendment being added to the DE1, say aye.
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 All opposed? All right, the motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. The next amendment is the A4, and who would like to offer this amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Representative Damath, and I would like to offer the A4 amendment.
All right, thank you, Representative Damath. Please proceed.
The A4 amendment strikes preschool licensed teacher requirement. This amendment does strike that requirement requiring early learning educators to be licensed by the Professional Educator Licensing and Standards Board, or PELSB. The mandate on schools is unnecessary and preempts local discussions and negotiations. School boards can already require a license for their preschool teachers if that is what the community values. A 2015 National Academies report found that little evidence on licensing produces better outcomes for children. Education and training, not licensing, are more reliable indicators of quality. While licensing data for early educators is not officially tracked, the absence of any new revenue from the licensing application fees suggests that most early childhood educators are already licensed. And this just further demonstrates a state mandate is unnecessary if many or most educators are already licensed. So that is my A4 amendment, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Dana. Chair Pinto, discussion to the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Damath, for bringing this idea forward. I would respectfully ask folks to vote against this. I appreciate the thought, and it occurs to me that we want to make sure that we're having a continued increase in the quality and in the teaching that is that's being received by our children, and recognizing that this is in fact in a district context, and that there is in fact an opportunity over a 5-year period within the bill to make sure that, that folks who are providing instruction right now are able to move in the direction of the license. We had an extensive discussion about this when Representative Sandell brought his bill forward at the time, maybe a month ago or so. And I thought that he made very strong arguments and would urge that this remain in the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I also see that Representative Dabney. I also recognize Representative Dabney at this point.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just follow along with Chair Pinto's comments. Part of the discussion here in committee has been the importance of recognizing early childhood as a profession. And licensure is one way that we recognize an area of practice, whatever it might be, as a profession. And so the importance of building early childhood as an area of professionalism, of assuring parents that there are trained staff in the programs that they choose to place their children in. This is an assurance of quality, and we know that quality is important in outcomes for children. So I would share Chair Pinto's request for a no vote on this amendment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Dabney. I also see the hand from Representative Daniels.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm just here to speak in favor of the amendment. We found that in data and to talking to the providers, there's really no difference in quality of a daycare, whether they have you licensed or non-licensed. We find them to be pretty much all highly rated. So I think this is something that we don't need to put into statute, and I would speak in favor of Representative Moose's amendment.
Thank you, Representative Daniels. Representative Juergens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm also speaking in favor of the amendment. I appreciate Representative Damuth bringing this forward. Right now, the early childhood instructors, they're allowed to be licensed now, and the school districts are allowed to require it. I think this is more of a solution in search of a problem. I don't see that it does anything that helps our earliest learners. So I would encourage a yes vote on the amendment. Thank you.
I pause a moment here. Seeing no further discussion, Representative Damuth, I think we're ready for the vote. Any final comment on your amendment?
Madam Chair. Thank you, Madam Chair. I would encourage a yes vote on this. The importance of local control in our schools and in programming is very important. Again, the education and the training are what are reliable indicators of quality, not just the license. So I would encourage a yes vote.
All right. Thank you, Representative Damon. We're ready for a vote. All in favor of the A, let's see which one we're on here. I want to get the number right. We are on the A4 amendments, correct? Is that, and I lost my place. It's Representative Damon, A4, yes.
It is the A4.
All in favor of the A4 amendments, please say aye.
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 All opposed? No.
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 The motion does not prevail. All right, next we will move on to four, and the A5 amendment. And who would like to offer the A5 amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Representative Damuth, and I would, again, like to try with the A5 amendment this morning.
All right, please proceed and offer the A5 amendment.
Thank you. The A5 amendment simply strikes the new language in the voluntary pre-K program to require at least one licensed teacher per VPK classroom. VPK is currently exempted from the licensed teacher requirement, and we have heard no testimony that school-based VPK programs are substandard or failing their children due to the current educator requirements. All VPK programs are 4-star parent aware rated, which clearly indicates that the current staffing requirements meet or exceed the indicators of quality that are required to earn a 4-star rating. The current program requirements already require teachers knowledgeable in early childhood curriculum content, assessment, native and English language programs, and instruction. That is my A5 amendment, and I would encourage a yes vote.
Thank you, Representative Dana. I see Representative Dabney, your hand is up. I'll call on you.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I speak against the A5 amendment. What the bill does is merge the VPK and the School Readiness Plus program, reducing redundancy in our statutes and in programming, recognizing the way most of the money is used by schools already in VPK programs. The School Readiness Plus programs require a licensed teacher. This simply carries that expectation of expertise and knowledge and professionalism over to the voluntary pre-kindergarten programming. I believe it's an important element to retain as we merge those programs for greater efficiency, and would urge a no vote on the A5 amendment. Thank you, Representative Dana. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Dabney. And I will call on the bill author, Representative Pinto, for your comments on the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Damon, for suggesting this, but I'll support Representative Dabney's comments and request a no vote. I do think that it makes sense for the reasons that he gave, and also connected to the discussion that we had on the previous amendment. I think it's important that we continue to move forward on this, and so would ask the folks vote against this amendment.
Thank you, Chair Pinto. Seeing no further hands at this point, Representative Damuth, we're ready to take a vote on the amendment. Your further comments, and we didn't ask for a roll call on the last one. Would you like a roll call vote?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do not need a roll call, but I would encourage members to reconsider this, and I would appreciate a yes vote.
All right. Thank you, Representative Damuth. All right, so we will now take the vote on the A5 amendments. So all in favor of the A5, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No.
The motion does not prevail. The next amendment is the A10. Who would like to offer this amendment?
Madam Chair.
All right, I recognize Representative Franson for the A10 amendment.
A10 is the provider notification on federal funds, correct?
All right.
Hello?
Yes, it is the yes, that is the A10 amendment. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Madam Chair. So this amendment requires childcare providers seeing an increase in their CCAP reimbursement rates is due to a temporary increase in federal funds. Madam Chair and members, what I'm afraid of here is that we're going to supplant the CCAP rates, federal funds, and if the federal funds are unable to sustain the increase in the long term, the providers need to be prepared for a possible reduction in rates. We do not know what the budget is going to look like in 2-4 years from now. As you know, there's a lot of discussion about inflation, and that is my concern, Madam Chair and members. I think it's very important that we just let the providers know these are federal funds, and they may not be there in the future.
Thank you, Representative Franson. And I will next recognize Representative Bennett.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Madam Chair and members. I support this amendment, and I'm concerned with the use of temporary money to increase the rate for the CCAP program. The reason being, I don't believe it's fair to the providers, nor is it fair to the taxpayers. And when we're looking forward and we raise money to an extent with federal funds that we don't know will be there off into the future, we are setting ourselves up for a big problem, I believe, in a few years when those funds potentially and probably will go away. And then suddenly we have providers who are now relying on those increases, and we don't have the money for it. And that, I just don't believe that is a wise use of this kind of funding. And in addition to that, and I'm kind of losing track here of my mind, I've got my cats playing around me, but I just, I feel like with the providers, we need to give an increase. I have no problem with that. I do believe we can give an increase within our present budget without the federal funds. I would love to see that. But to the extent that we're doing it in this bill and the using of federal funds, I believe is setting us up for problems in the future. So I do support this amendment just to make sure that providers understand that this is temporary money that we have. I mean, we would hope that we could keep this moving on into the future, but we may not be able to. And we have to recognize that and be fair to them and let them know that.
Thank you, Representative Bennett. I'm going to go to the author of the bill, Chair Pinto, for your comments on the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And first, I want to thank Representative Franson, and I completely credit her her concern about this and totally understand where she's coming from. And I know that she's been a champion for a long time and making sure the rates are increasing long before before this committee, et cetera. Having said that, I guess I have, I think perhaps we're just coming at this from different angles and recognizing that the testimony we've heard in our committee regarding the need for this program and kind of where we're at as a society on this is that the federal standard for this program is that providers should be receiving the 75th percentile, as we know from surveys. Many other states hit that benchmark. Our state used to hit that benchmark. And we're talking about getting up to the 50th percentile, simply the median rate in doing this. And my thinking, members, is that we need to have a commitment as a state to at least say that when we have the most vulnerable and the lowest income families, we are going to make sure that we at least hit that, which, as I say, is even below the federal standard of that 50th percentile. So the way the bill is constructed is that, in fact, we do have a permanent rate increase through the 4 years of the budget horizon. I understand the concern those number of years off. And it seems to me that we have got to have a commitment as a state to say that we're actually going to meet this obligation to families, knowing and all the research and all the learning that we've done about the brain science, knowing that, in fact, by doing that, we're making all the rest of us better off. And I was sort of thinking about this because this is simply, of course, a notification we're talking about. I was kind of thinking about that in other contexts as well. You know, are we going to have a sign that when people visit a state park that says, FYI, if we end up having, state budget challenges, then it might be that something that this may not be open at a later date. The last thing I want to be doing is be communicating to families and to providers that we do not have a really bedrock commitment to them. And I don't believe that this that a notification of the type here is appropriate. What we need to do is make the determination that we are going to keep the rates at this below federal rate, but at least up at this 50th percentile, and just say that we're going to do it and have the commitment to do it. And so I think that it's not necessary, and it's something that I would urge the members vote against, despite, as I say, understanding what the concerns are. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Chair Pinto. See no further comments on this amendment.
Madam Chair.
Yes,
Madam Chair.
I was going to go to you, Representative Franson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would respectfully disagree with Chair Pinto. The state right now is all about notifications. You can't even walk into a business without some sort of notification that they printed off of the state website about how that business can stay open and what the patrons can do to help that business stay open, one of which you can't even walk into a business without seeing a sign that says wear a mask so we can stay open. I don't believe a notification is too hard to do. And with that, I would respectfully ask the committee to support this. And I would like a roll call.
Right. A roll call being requested on the A10 amendment. Ms. Chambers, please take the roll.
I think she was saying I'm a no, but I see if we can, Ms. Chambers, see if we can hear her.
Are you able to hear me?
Yes. Oh. We can hear you now.
Very faint.
Sorry about that.
Very faint, yes.
Representative Pinto, Chair.
No.
Representative Pryor, Vice Chair.
No.
Representative Franson.
Yes.
Representative Bennett.
Yes.
Representative Bolden?
No.
Representative Daniels?
Yes.
Dabney?
No.
Representative Damuth?
Aye.
Representative Juergens?
Juergens, aye.
Representative Cotiza-Witoon?
Cotiza-Witoon votes no.
Representative Morrison?
Morrison, no.
Representative Wazlowick?
No.
And Representative Wolgamott?
Wolgamott, no.
There are 8 no's and 5 yeses.
There being 8, or there being 5 ayes and 8 nays, the motion, the amendment does not prevail. And the final amendment is the A7. Who would like to offer this amendment?
Madam Chair, Representative Daniels is offering the A7.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The A7 is an amendment that maintains the current cap on early childhood pathways to scholarships and preserves the current prioritization for special populations. The amendment does include the governor's proposal for shortening the window for families to enroll into an eligible program. The purpose of the amendment is to maintain the current pathway 2 cap that has been in place since 2017. We have heard from the experts and the advocates that pathway 1 is more targeted to high need population and is simply a better option than pathway 2. We should continue to prioritize funding to families to choose eligible programs rather than funding programs to choose their participating families. The most important program we can invest in is the family and making parents partners and rather than spectators in the education of their children. And that is my amendment, Madam Chair, and I'm open for questions.
Thank you, Representative Daniels. I see Representative Dabney, your hand is up.
It is, Madam Chair, thank you. And I'm speaking against the A7 amendment and encouraging us to move forward with Chair Pinto's proposal here of lifting the artificial and arbitrary cap on Pathway 2 scholarships. What we know is that the proposal in the bill that the amendment chooses to proposes to delete includes an emphasis on our youngest learners, 0 to 2, where we know that those small brains are absorbing everything, and the more that they are able to be in high quality programs, such as the Pathway 2 programs, the better off they are, the better off the families are, the better off we all are eventually. It's an arbitrary cap that doesn't serve families, particularly in greater Minnesota. These school-based and institutional programs, as well as the private providers that receive Pathway 2 scholarships, sometimes are the most reliable option for families to choose. Families don't have a choice if there's no program to choose from. These assure high-quality choices. Many of these programs, such as Head Start, not only are 4-star parent-aware certified, but also have their own internal quality assurance and standards that they have to abide by as well. So removing arbitrary caps seems to be a positive step forward. We also know that when these programs, these Pathway 2 school-based programs serve our most vulnerable, those children whose families are struggling with homelessness, they receive transportation so that they stay in the same program. That's something that Pathway 1 scholarships don't provide. So when we look at some of the most vulnerable in our state, they're best served by Pathway 2 programs. And I would encourage us to move forward with the chair's vision of removing the artificial cap and ask for a no vote on the Daniels Amendment. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Dabney. Next up, Representative Franson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, I just want to remind the body that the majority of Pathway 2 participants automatically receive a four-star parent aware right off the bat. Unlike licensed child care providers, in-home providers, and centers, the Head Starts of the world do not have to jump through those hoops. They are automatically given a four-star rating. Thank you.
Representative Dama.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Daniels, for bringing this amendment forward. I would speak in favor of it. We know that just by maintaining that cap, we're not asking to reduce it or eliminate it, but by maintaining that cap gives accountability. We also know, speaking to Pathway One, the flexibility that families need in time of transition is priority. And so instead of seeing more dollars go into Pathway Two, which limits that, the cap would remain, allowing more dollars to potentially flow better to families and what their needs are. So again, thank you, Representative Daniels, for bringing this forward, and I am a yes vote on it.
All right. Members, other discussion before I go to the bill's author and then back to Representative Daniels. All right, Representative Chair Pinto.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Daniels. I think that Representative Dabney did a really nice job talking about some of the particular concerns of making sure that that we have these Pathway 2 scholarships available to make sure that there is a place that is there for children to receive early learning and care. I guess I just want to make sure that we're kind of have the broader context in mind. And there's a reason that I had asked Madam Chair, I thought that we would want to do this amendment last. I thought it might take just a little bit more time than a couple of the others. Looking at the numbers in general, before the cap came in place, when there was no cap, there was a rough 50-50 split between Pathway 1 and Pathway 2. I was actually looking at the numbers where it looks like the number of scholarships was somewhat higher in Pathway 2, but actually the total dollar amount was, in fact, looks like a little bit more on Pathway 1. In any case, roughly those 50-50 numbers before the cap was put in place. Removing the cap, of course, does not move anything in any particular direction. What it means is that then the funds can be directed in the way that makes the most sense, which, again, in that time was roughly 50-50, and now we're somewhat below the 50-50 mark. In terms of, I think Pathway 2 is now at in the 40s. We had heard some criticisms the other day about Pathway 2, and I think also when the bill to do this was heard a couple weeks ago, I'm expressing some concerns about administrative burden, a number of other things. I've had meetings with the department and with the Department of Education, and they're available if members have particular questions. But I should simply note that that there are a number of steps that have been taken to address some of those concerns. It seems to me that that children are in place to be able to have the portability that was expressed and portability concerns and being able to take scholarships that they may have at a Pathway 2 location if they move somewhere else. We certainly want to make sure the child can keep the scholarship. I think that we're in place to be able to do that. But generally speaking, what we want to have is an opportunity where the system can be structured in the way that is going to work in the best manner for children and families. My concern with leaving this, as was referenced, artificial arbitrary cap in place, is that that does not allow that to happen. And so lifting the cap simply allows things to work in the way that's going to work best, with a particular focus, as we've said, on the youngest children, I should note that a number of the Pathway 2 institutions are not set up to serve those younger children. They're going to be serving older children. That's going to be a natural point. That's going to, of course, drive more dollars in the Pathway 1 direction. We want to make sure that we have a setup that's going to work well for families. So I appreciate the thought and the perspective, but would respectfully ask folks to vote this amendment down. Thank you.
And back to you, Representative Daniels, to your amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just have to respectfully disagree with my fellow friend and roommate, Chair Pinto. I think when we put the choice of either to put it into the program or put it into the families, I think we are much better served by letting the families be in control of their own future. And I just, I'm a little surprised at how the amendments, none of them were even considered and shot down on the party line. So I'm a little frustrated with that. I'd like to see us work a little bit more together. That's what our constituents want. So I'm a little surprised and a little disappointed, but it is what it is. And I guess we'll put them on the table and we'll have the discussion on the House floor. Thank you, Madam Chair, for your time and consideration.
Thank you, Representative Daniels. And we're ready for a vote. Would you like it to be a roll call vote or just oral?
A voice vote is fine, Madam Chair.
All right. Thank you, Representative Daniels. All right. So we're voting now on the A7 amendment. All in favor of the A7, please say aye.
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 All opposed? Nay.
Nay.
No.
Nay.
No.
The amendment does not prevail. All right, so now we are ready to consider the DE1 amendment. So I guess we're ready for a vote to adopt the DE1 amendment and then discuss the bill in the form that the author is prepared for. So we're ready to take a vote then on the DE1. And so all in favor of the DE1 amendment, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Opposed? Please say nay. And hearing no opposition, the DE1 as amended is now adopted. All right, so now we will have the discussion of House File 2230 as amended. We'll turn to you first, Chair Pinto, reintroducing the bill and getting us centered on where we are right now.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and I do want to clarify, yes, that voice vote was on the DE1 as amended, of course, and so then now considering the bill, and I think I'll just turn to member discussion, but just I'll just note that I really appreciate the discussion we had regarding both in committee in the last couple of months and then regarding these amendments. To Representative Daniels, as he said, my former roommate, to his comment, it was before we even came into today, I kind of had an idea of the points at which there would be some disagreement and differing perspectives on the bill. I kind of was expecting that teacher licensure would be one and that the Pathway 2 would be another. And as been discussed previously, this issue of the federal funding being one time and our desire to have permanent rate increases. So in that way, Representative Daniels, I'll just note that in a way we sort of put our finger on, and the minority members quite appropriately put their finger on sort of the exact spots where there are some particular disagreements. But I guess I'd like to emphasize as we head into this discussion that there's a lot more, I think, that unites us and a lot more common ground. Despite those particular spots that where we have a disagreement, which makes sense that those are the spots where there are amendments offered in the discussion. But I think that there's a general consensus in committee members about the need to take really bold action. We do have an opportunity, I'll say, not just in the federal funds, but also the fact that our committee received a $50 million state general fund target as well. Really gives us the two of those things combined, gives us the opportunity for some bold action. And I think that there's a lot of commonality and agreement on that. But I think I'll turn to members' comments and discussion about what is in the bill now. And then I'll circle back for some comments at the end, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Chair Pinto. All right, we are now ready to discuss House File 2230 as amended. So we're open for questions, comments, and discussions at this point. Members. All right. So I see first Representative Juergens.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Chair Pinto. It's been a pleasure serving on this committee this session, and I really went into this wanting to work together. I signed on to a number of DFL bills because I thought the bills were good. The goals were, were shared by both Democrats and Republicans, nonpartisan. I'm very disappointed that not one of the Republican amendments was adopted today. I think that it would have been a great show of bipartisanship, of willing to work together. So I'm disappointed in the outcome of those. I really went into this hoping to be able to vote for the bill. Unfortunately, I won't be able to do that today. But I think there's a lot of good in the bill. Does a lot of good. But the amendments that we voted on today, I think, would have improved and would have allayed some of the concerns that we had. So, again, thank you for your leadership in this committee. Unfortunately, I'll be a no today, though.
Thank you, Representative Juergens. Next, I'll call on Representative Dabney.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And really, I just want to thank Chair Pinto for his leadership of this committee this year and for this final product. It's rare that someone comes to this body, in my experience, with the focus and the knowledge base that Chair Pinto has brought in his emphasis on early childhood education. The good news for Minnesota's youngest is he's right. He's smart, he's knowledgeable, and this is a difficult area to work in. It's complicated. There's many overlapping areas. As he knows well, as we all do, part of this is health and human services. Part of this is education. A lot of it is new area as we look to what best serves families today. And I believe that Chair Pinto's focus and emphasis is going to benefit everyone. I appreciate the bill you brought forward and look forward to working with you as the process continues. So thank you, Mr. Chair. I look forward to voting yes on the bill. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Dabney. Next up, Representative Katiza Watum.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Chair Pinto, for your leadership on all the proposals this year and for putting together such a great package of investments in our youngest Minnesotans. I come back to the committee in my second term as the parent of a newborn, which, you know, is a new experience for me. And so I appreciate everyone's support with our tiny little visitors that we've had throughout the session over Zoom. And I just am so thrilled for the ideas and the support that everyone has brought forward in order to support our families, our child care providers, our early childhood educators. I think that this bill, combined with the federal funds that we were able to spread out to so many needed areas and needed investments, I think is just really going to make a big difference in these children's lives going forward and overall in the state of Minnesota. So thank you, and I'm proud to vote yes.
Thank you, Representative Katiza Watum. Next up, Representative Bolden.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. I just wanted to echo a bit of what has been shared as a new member to this body and being in my first term and going through this process for the first time. I have very much valued and enjoyed this process. I am really proud of the bill that we have come to and I'm happy to vote yes for it and be in support of it. I think about how, Chair Pinto mentioned the the bold investments that are needed, and that is what we are doing. And I am, like I said, really proud that this bill is going to make a real substantive difference in the lives of families across Minnesota. I'm happy to support the bill and proud of the work that this committee has done. So thank you.
All right, next I see Representative Franson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, I want to thank Chair Pinto for the manner in which you have run this committee. While the Zoom hearings were not the most productive to debate and discussion, I want to acknowledge that you have tried to create and maintain an environment that is fair for free exchange of ideas from members and our public testifiers. I appreciate all the hard work that was done by you and our staff in drafting this bill, but unfortunately, I cannot support your bill today. There are many positive aspects to this bill. However, several concerns, which we have tried to fix through amendments, remain. I was really hoping that we could have a bipartisan support of this bill.
Representative Franson, I think we lost your audio right now. And I think it's your audio and not mine. Can someone else verify?
Okay. Was I on mute the entire time?
No, we heard the beginning of it, but then we lost you. And
somebody must have muted me because I haven't touched anything. So I'm not even sure where that happened.
Well, you had gotten to the point where you said you're not supporting the bill.
Oh, what a shocker, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. So cannot support the bill today. There are many positive aspects to this bill. However, several concerns, which we have tried to fix through amendments, remain. That is why we brought forward some good faith amendments. I was really hoping for bipartisan support. Every one of us really are passionate about this bill and early childhood, but we really were hoping for just a little bit of bipartisanship here when this bill left the committee. While federal funds may be sufficient to fund increases to the CCAP reimbursement rate in the near term, it is not clear that the initial increases are sustainable without general funds after federal relief funds have been exhausted. I worry this sets a trap for a future legislature to fix. Requiring early childhood educators to hold a license for only benefits Education Minnesota. It doesn't benefit the children or their families. School districts can already require a license, and many early childhood educators are already licensed. Requiring BPK classrooms to be led by a licensed teacher makes us now wonder if the current teachers lack the skills necessary to help our kids succeed. And if so, why are these programs 4-star rated? Repealing the cap on the pathway to early learning scholarships would fund programs instead of families. We should have a system where the money follows the child. Children should not have to chase the money. Again, Mr. Chair, Representative Pinto, I thank you for your leadership. I cannot support your bill today and will encourage a no vote. I am happy to continue working with you on areas of common ground to write a better bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Franson. And just, you know, as a quick sidebar right here in our Zoom meetings, I think what was going on at the beginning of your comments, you were breaking up a little bit and then we lost you. But when you came back, it was very clear. And I believe that we all heard everything that you said, and we do appreciate your comments. And thank you for sticking with us and picking up where you left off. Thank you, Representative Franson. Next, I'm going to go to Representative Morrison.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I also want to thank Chair Pinto for his remarkable leadership of this committee. Minnesota is so lucky to have him at the helm of this committee. He has dedicated himself to becoming a thought leader in this field. And he conducts this committee in a manner that really sets the standard, as Representative Franson noted. I'm so proud to support this bill. It centers our youngest Minnesotans and their care providers, and therefore invests in the future of our state. I will be an enthusiastic yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Morrison. Next, Representative Wasilek.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to echo what a lot of my colleagues have said here and just say that I think this bill does a lot of good. You know, my big piece in sort of role in this has been some of the Family Child Care Task Force recommendations. Along with Representative Damuth, we've done that work and brought those forward to the committee to put in our bill, and glad to see so many of them in there. I think it's really important that we, not only are we talking about helping children and families, but how do we make the system better for our providers and for the folks who work in the field. So I think our bill does a really good job of bringing all those pieces together so that we can be sure that we're providing access to affordable, high-quality childcare for families across the state, but also that we're doing some things to evaluate and change the systems so that things work better for our providers. We know that we have a lack of childcare across the state, particularly in greater Minnesota. And so there's a lot of pieces in our bill and other bills that are moving to help solve those issues and provide further childcare slots for families who need them. So thank you to the committee and everyone for putting together such a great bill, and I look forward to supporting it.
All right, and not seeing any other comments, and so I'll just, before turning it back to Chair Pinto for the final word on the bill on House File 2230, I just want to echo what we've already been saying, which is this has just been a great committee to serve on, and I have really been honored to be the vice chair this year, and thank you all for putting up with me as I try to get us through the times when Chair Pinto is stepping aside. I'm doing my best, not always easy, but I also want to just come back to this bill and the work that we're doing. I know that it's important to have this infrastructure for our economy, a reliable, quality, fully built system of childcare across the state. I know this is an important time for parents when they have young children that need care and education, and that parents need to get to work to support that family. It's a critical time, but really where my heart has always been is the kids, and they are our future. And what we heard in this committee is that this is the most important time in their life, because this is the time for human development. There's no more no more critical time for that rapid development in those first early years. So it's just a privilege and an honor, and to know that I'm serving on this committee and I can do something that's right for Minnesota's future. So thank you, Chair Pinto, for putting together our final bill, House File 2230. And I turn it over to you for the, actually, before we do that, I see Representative Morrison hand up again. Representative Morrison.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was remiss in not thanking our amazing staff on this committee. Very grateful to Polly Strickbenick and Shanika Chambers, and of course the staff on the GOP side as well. Thanks.
Thank you, Representative Morrison, for bringing that. And I'm sure that Chair Pinto will make those same comments, but I know that our staff has just been incredible. So thank you. And with that, Chair Pinto, for your final comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members, since it seems pretty certain that we will not be using our evening time for the committee today. We should be done by our 10 a.m. regular time. I'm going to take just a few extra minutes here. And so I try to keep things pretty concise when I'm speaking, but I may take just a little bit longer than usual. That's a really nice transition from Representative Morrison, because I did want to start with a thank you to staff, to Mr. Fennick, our committee administrator, and Ms. Chambers, our committee legislator. State assistant for their terrific work, and Mars Beltrandi Rudquist and Jody Withers, our two partisan staffers. So I know Mr. Beltrandi Rudquist has done incredible work on our side, and I've had the chance to work with Mr. Withers, and I can only imagine I'm sure how pleased the members of the GOP team have been on our committee with his work. And then I do want to make sure to really acknowledge the work of Ms. Mock, and Mr. Berg and Ms. Adrians, our House research staffer, and the two fiscal staffers who have done incredible work. I made reference to this on Tuesday, but they've worked just so hard. I've been so grateful to them. I also want to thank the members of the majority caucus, and in particular to you, Madam Vice Chair, and to Representative Wasilewicz, who particularly stepped up in helping to pull this together. But all the members on the majority caucus, and then I want to make sure to turn to the members of the minority and lead Franson, and have really appreciated getting to work with you all. And I want to note for members of the public, I've had extensive discussions along the way with Representative Franson, and I think you could tell that. Although we may not be unanimous on our votes on this particular bill, there's a really a shared vision about a lot of the work that we're doing. And I guess that's where I wanted to kind of start on the substance of this, is just to note that though I acknowledge, and I kind of made reference to this at my remarks earlier, that the amendments kind of go to the heart of some disagreements, I guess I'd like to suggest to members of the committee and members of the public that I feel like the concerns that were identified there, I would hope that folks would view as relatively small in the broader context of the bill. There is this concern about teacher licensure for those who are teaching our preschool students in schools. And just note that 1 year later, as soon as a child is in kindergarten and on up, there's that requirement of teacher licensure. So the requirement of that in this particular year, to my mind, seems like a relatively minor point when we're talking about the personnel who are in one classroom over from the people who do have those licenses. And the explanation we gave may not have been convincing members of the minority, but I would hope that you view it, as I say, as relatively small in the broader context of the bill. And then the pathway to cap, just to note, that simply gets us back to where we were, that issue lifting the cap, to where we were a few years ago. It's the same thing. If you just go back to 2016, it's the same thing as where it was then. We have a disagreement on those issues, and maybe some more. That's okay. And I want to urge, I know members of the minority will continue to be in touch with me, and Lead Franson will, and let's continue to have a discussion wherever we land on the bill. But I want to make sure that we are thinking then about the broader context of the bill, members of the public. As Representative Morrison alluded to, this really is a shift to younger children, and making sure we're acknowledging all that we've learned about brain development. I was making a list of some of the main components of the bill and was just running out of space because there's so many exciting things. I want to make sure we're all just keeping this in mind. We've talked about the increase in the CCAP rate to at least hitting that median, that 50th percentile. A reminder, right now we are at the 25th percentile. We're at the bare federal minimum. And when I'm around the country talking to other legislators and I mention where our CCAP rates are, their jaws drop. This is not the standard Minnesota should be hitting. And this bill gets us there, and it does so across the four-year budget horizon. But in addition, if you are more of an early learning scholarship fan, we invest nearly $40 million in early learning scholarships. Those voting in favor of this will be voting in favor of that. We invest more than $6 million in the administration's tribal early learning proposal to make sure that our members of tribes have the youngest children there receiving the support that they need. We, of course, include the Family Child Care Task Force reforms. And I mentioned Representative Wasilewicz, the co-chair, and I want to thank Representative Damuth as well for their work on that. It includes Representative Damuth's proposal for an ombudsperson and the shared services grants to make sure that our family child care providers can combine services, some of the back end work to make things be more efficient, but many other of the reforms that were suggested. We do a lot relating to childcare deserts and making sure we have a strong supply of childcare by investing in a series of grants there as well. And I should note that our partners in the Workforce Development Committee, I know, have funding in that area as well, and let's really work together. We have increased professionalization, as is really needed. We've talked about the teacher licensure, but also teach grants and a number of other things. We've got system reform in terms of evaluating parent aware, having the kindergarten readiness assessment be required for all children. We have a task force authored by Representative Bolden to make sure children have the great start that they deserve, making sure parents have affordable and accessible early care and learning, and that providers get their wages increased above poverty wages. We have governance in early childhood examined, possibly moving to a new department, certainly saying that we want to make sure that our programs are working as effectively as possible. We're modernizing child care center regulations and family child care regulations. We're evaluating the use of the federal funds. And that is not to mention the more than $300 million in stabilization funds that says that this is a sector where the economics do not work. Without support, that's what we've seen. And what we do is we say we need to have steady support for providers, of which most of the money should be directed to the people doing the frontline work. We're talking about the employees in centers. We're talking about people who are in family child care and making sure that that is directed to them to make sure that that critical support is provided. Members, in past decades, our state had 75th percentile for CCAP. We had those family, friend, and neighbor rates up. We had a number of these pieces in place. Even then, things were not where they needed to be. But what we need to do is to be moving in the direction of providing the support for families and for children that they deserve. We know that when we do that, we all benefit. Parents can work, employers can expand, communities can thrive, and in the long run, we're all better off. Members, this bill contains all those things and a whole bunch of other stuff that I forgot to include and probably didn't have time to include. There's a lot of good stuff. So I understand the specific concerns members may have with a few aspects of this. I would argue to you, whether it's in the vote now or in a vote that may come later on the floor or beyond, that the good here, no matter your perspective, really overwhelms anything that you may have particular concerns about. Regardless, I really appreciated the discussion, and I know that that will continue. We all have the same dedication in that way, and I'm so grateful to all of you for that work, and let's continue to partner together. We are Team Early Childhood, regardless of where we are, as we move through the floor, and then certainly as we do what I'm sure will be challenging negotiations, conference committee, and beyond. So thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, members, for everything. Let's continue to keep in touch. And with that, I do ask for your yes vote on this bill, and then I know the conversations will continue regardless. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. All right, so we're ready for the vote on House File 2230 as amended. Ms. Chambers, please take the roll.
Representative Pinto, Chair.
Aye.
Representative Pryor, Vice Chair.
Aye.
Representative Franson.
No.
Representative Bennett.
No.
Representative Bolden?
Aye.
Representative Daniels?
Daniels votes no.
Representative Dabney?
Dabney, aye.
Representative Damoth?
No.
Representative Juergens?
Juergens, no.
Representative Cotiza-Watoon?
Aye.
Representative Morrison?
Morrison, aye.
Representative Wozlawick?
Aye.
And Representative Wolgamott.
Aye.
We have 8 ayes and 5 nays.
With 8 ayes and 5 nays, the motion prevails, and House File 2230, as amended, is referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. And I will now hand the gavel back to Chair Pinto.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members. And again, I want to thank every single member of the committee for your work. This is, we know in the budget process that though it feels like this is quite a milestone to pass, and it is, it's really only one step in quite a long journey. And so look forward to continued conversations with everyone as we land this plane together. Thank you so much for your work. Members, I'm anticipating that we may have an informational hearing in the coming weeks. We're looking into that. And we'll be able to share more information about that as it comes together. But other than that, I believe, and I may sort of look to see if Mr. Fennick has anything to correct me on with this, but I believe that we won't have anything else though in the meantime. And so again, I want to thank everyone for your work. Please continue to be in touch. It has been, if not on top of everything else, it's been an efficient couple of hearings. So we will not need to come back this evening. And thank you so much. And with that, members, we are adjourned.